I think I'm going to start calling you General Ludd.
Nah, come on. What are you
You've
talking
always
about?
struck me as a little bit of a thuggy kind of
Nah, me? Are you
lug
kidding
sort of
me?
character.
No, I'm a lovable, like huggable kind of guy.
Well, we are talking about General Ludd this
Yeah,
week,
that's
whether you
true.
want to talk about it or not.
Well, I'm no General Ludd. Let's put it
Okay.
that way. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I thought it was an interesting name. I wouldn't mess with a guy named Ludd.
Yeah, it rhymes with like blood and mud. It's kind of a
Thud.
thud.
Yeah. Sounds like a
Yeah.
scary guy.
Yeah.
And I think that was the idea. They created this, well, half scary, but half a man of the people.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second, Dan. Are you saying that Ludd was not an actual person, that it was a creation of someone?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, are you
Well,
sure about that? Like, is
actually,
that?
nobody is really
Oh.
sure. I mean, this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And some people think that he was connected to, a good 30 years earlier in the 1780s,
Yeah.
there was a young teenage, some kind of factory worker who destroyed some machines.
Okay.
And some people say that his name was Ludd, and they used that name 30 years later to make this General Ludd. But of course, he could be the real deal. He could have just escaped
Yeah,
and nobody,
I wonder. Yeah.
he could walk among us
Right.
today, even.
He may be around.
Just like Elvis.
That's right.
Just like Elvis. Just
Elvis.
like the moon, not like the moon landing.
Ah,
A lot
right.
of people don't believe in the moon landing.
A lot or some? I would say some.
I would
Maybe a lot of
say
your friends
a lot of crazy people believe
don't.
that the US astronauts never landed on the moon, and that was all done in Hollywood
In a studio,
studios.
right. And they have all this evidence to
Right,
suggest that
they
it,
say the
yeah, actually,
shadows, the
right.
lighting was a little
Right.
strange.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy the moon landing? Me neither. That
No,
didn't happen.
that's not what I'm
So
talking
how are
about.
we going to get way
Don't
up
put
there?
words in my mouth, Dan. You know what I'm talking about. I don't buy the conspiracy
The
theory.
conspiracy theory,
Yeah,
right.
I think definitely the,
You think it happens?
yeah, I know it did.
Right. Next thing you know, you're going to be telling me that the whole flat Earth thing is a conspiracy.
Well, that is a, that could be. It could be, Dan. Yeah.
A lot of people have uncovered the truth that,
Ah.
Earth is flat.
The Earth is still flat, even though there's a conspiracy to
All
make
right.
people believe it's
We're getting
round.
off track. You're
That's true.
getting
Yeah,
us
let's get back
sidetracked.
on
We're talking
topic.
Ned Ludd,
Yeah, Ned Ludd.
General Ned Ludd. He was kind of like Robin Hood, fighting for the poor.
Ah, right. A man of the people,
Right,
that kind of
Robin Hood
guy.
stole from
Yeah.
the rich, gave to the poor. I don't know that Ned Ludd gave to anybody, but he was trying to give jobs back to people.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had the good of the people in mind. I mean,
Right.
if machines come along and take away the jobs of people who are trying to support their families, that's a pretty disruptive kind of thing that
I saw in the news
yeah.
this law firm, this very big, reputable law firm had light had had bought some new legal software, like a lawyer software,
Yeah.
that was able to analyze legal cases.
Okay.
And it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars,
Right.
had some incredible artificial intelligence.
Right.
And yeah, maybe that's the future.
Maybe that could be the future of deep English. It's
Right.
just we'll be obsolete.
Maybe we already
Maybe
are.
we
You've been
already are
always struck me as a
obsolete.
little robotic.
Don't think so.
Maybe
I
it's
don't think
all
so.
just one big robot's dream.
Yeah.
No, but that could happen. That could happen. One day we're gonna have the instant language
Sure,
translators from Star Trek.
right.
And then where will Deep English be?
I think we'll be riding the crest.
Well, I
We'll be
think
riding
you
the
you know I
wave,
think that
yeah.
will happen in our lifetime,
Oh yeah,
where there'll be
sure.
pretty
I think it's
accurate
around the corner, really.
instant translation, but it won't be the same as really interacting and understanding that culture in the way that you do when you can actually speak the
Absolutely. I
language.
mean, speaking of, there's a whole like experience that goes with it, a feeling of being in a seeing the world from a different perspective and in a visceral way, in an emotional way that you get when you're able to formulate words in a different language. You're not going to get that with a translation machine. It's a
Right,
very cold
right,
kind of thing.
right.
So yeah, there will still be benefits to
Yeah, I
learning
mean,
the language.
language
Yeah.
is about connection,
Yeah.
and having that sort of artificial software. Don't buy it, people. Stick with Deep English.
We're not going anywhere.
It's no
we'll,
good.
We'll still teach you.
Yeah, but that certainly is going to be a continuing problem. People losing their jobs.
Yeah.
As
artificial technology advances intelligence and an artificial intelligence, you know, unfolds.
Advances. Yeah. Until we're at Terminator end of days.
Well, that's sort of a very negative view of where it could be. I mean, you could
Arnold
also
Arnold Schwarzenegger is not negative.
He's just big and strong.
He's an American
and conservative.
An American Austrian hero.
Okay.
So, yeah, Luddites, I guess the main theme of that story is that these people were pushed into a corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, what people will do when they feel their very existence is at stake.
That's right. And that's one of the kind of ongoing issues with the development, the rapid development of technology, is how disruptive it can be of the status quo, how disruptive it can be of the way we normally do things, and how that creates a lot of fear in people.
Yeah. Anytime there's some, especially with the internet, you hear a lot of fear that, oh, Twitter and Facebook, it's right. killing our ability to communicate.
Right. Or these smartphones are, you know, our youth are just staring into them constantly, and they're not connecting with each other, you know, the way we used to when we were younger.
Yeah.
So obviously they're terrible things. Right. Yeah.
But, probably some of those predictions are correct.
Yeah.
We probably are going to change the way that humans evolve.
And the way our brain works.
Yeah.
I mean, in many ways, the internet and all of the tools that we use to connect to that internet and that provide us with apps and things.
Yeah.
It's really an extension of our brain in a way. And some might argue it's an extension of our very identity.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, and our ability to be able to figure things out without looking up the answer. I mean, maybe that's hurting our problem solving skills or our skills to critically think about that. Should I really critically think about this issue? Or in 5 seconds, I can find 5 experts' opinions about this issue instead of trying to come up with my own.
Right.
You know, it was a good 10 years ago. I remember talking to a elementary school teacher, and she taught like 6-year-olds or 7-year-olds. Uh-huh.
This was in Japan or
in the US? No,
the US.
I think maybe a little older. Because she was saying that they didn't know how to use dictionaries because they were so used to looking things up on computers and tablets that the school provided.
Right.
So they didn't even understand
alphabetical order.
Yeah,
or
alphabetical.
Something.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could understand. They learned the alphabet. They knew that order, and they know, okay, this word starts with B. Let me look in the B's. But then they didn't know
that the second letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure our ability to process and slice and dice information is changing.
Yeah, it's all evolving pretty quickly. So, yeah. Luddites. Do you know any Luddites?
Well, you know, there's different kinds of Luddites. There are people that reject technology because they think it's bad for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people that just don't like it.
Very frustrated because they can't use it. They can't adapt to it. And for that reason, they turn against it.
Right.
Right. It's oh, I can't do this. It's too difficult for me. Therefore, I don't need it. I don't want it. Right.
Right.
Even though if maybe they had someone to show them how to use it and help them along, they might actually embrace it.
Right.
Who knows? I know a few people like that. Yeah, I know a few people like that. They tend to be a bit older. I remember
for years I rejected cell phones.
Uh-huh.
I really didn't like the idea of people being able to contact me whenever they wanted.
Uh-huh.
And people would always say, well, just don't pick it up.
Yeah, well.
But then you're actively rejecting as opposed to just being ignorant of people trying to contact
you. What brought you around?
Well, you know, I waited years and years, and I thought one of these days somebody like me is going to come around and is going to create a cell phone that only calls out and doesn't accept calls, and I could be like, sorry,
I got the
call out kind. I don't have, but nobody else seemed to want that. So I gave up and I had to get a two-way cell phone. But yeah, other Luddites. Well, there was, who was that? Who was that terrorist bomber who was bombing
the Unabomber?
Yeah, the Unabomber.
Yeah, was, Ted Kaczynski or something.
Kaczynski.
Like that.
He was bombing universities.
Going after.
That's
professors.
Why he was the Unabomber.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I mean, I know that he was very anti-technology.
Yeah, he lived way out in the sticks.
Right. He was a professor.
And he grew up here. Yeah, he was a professor.
He graduated from Harvard.
I want to say the University of Michigan, but maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know which university.
He's
probably
the most famous, like, violent Luddite.
Right, right.
I don't really know what his trip was. Do you know?
No. I don't really know either. Yeah. He was just... obviously went off the deep end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably a good deep English story in there.
Yeah, actually, that's not a bad one. Yeah.
So yeah, Luddites losing their jobs, losing their identity or having their jobs stripped away can kind of equal losing your identity. I think for a lot of people, I know that I identify as being a teacher.
Sure.
And if I wasn't a teacher, no, I wouldn't curl up in a ball and cry, but you know, it would be a part of, I would feel like I'm losing part of who I am.
Right.
You've got all kinds of skills though.
You could
tap dance.
You could
hula hoop.
Belly dance.
Right, belly dance.
Touch my tongue to my nose.
Right.
Yeah, I'm multi talented.
It would be nothing for you. You could just transition, man.
You could do anything you put your mind to, Dan. I'll help you out, man. Don't worry.
They say that the average U.S. adult transitions 7 times.
Oh, really? That
in
many
their
times?
Career?
Huh.
I mean, that kind of seems like a made up number, but I didn't make it up.
I read it somewhere.
I read it somewhere.
Therefore, it's true.
As long as I didn't make it up. 7 times. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity for educated people now.
You can always reinvent yourself.
But for people in, you know, for the lower classes in the 1810s and 1820s.
Yeah, that was it for them. That was
it's like, there's probably some other real, like, low-wage job they can get.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
but
I
nothing
can understand
where
the outrage.
That's the thing, that these Luddites, they were very highly paid.
Yeah.
You know, I think
as workers.
Yes, they were very highly paid, and it was very skilled, so they were in demand.
Yeah,
and apparently, they could just afford to take a day off, and nobody could really tell them you can't
do
that. They had the money, and they were in demand, and they actually made up a holiday called Saint Mondays.
Oh, really?
Because they would just get drunk on Sunday night,
not
and then they'd be
the
like,
morning,
it's Saint Mondays. Yeah. You know, we take the day off. Huh. And, apparently I think it was the weavers were known for carrying a 5-pound note in their hat, like on display. Like, check me out. Look at all this cash I got in the bar.
I didn't know that. So they actually were pretty well off.
Yeah. They were really well off.
So they had a lot to lose.
Yeah. They had a lot to lose and their skills didn't, you know, transfer to any other sort of job.
Wow. So that was it for them.
So
it's
that's
kind of
why
a dead
end,
huh?
They were really willing to, you know, put it all on the line.
Interesting.
And and of course the other story was
the Russians,
the spies,
the spies. That's right.
Well, Canadians, are they Russians? Are they Canadians? Are they Americans? The kids.
Hard to say, huh? The kids would be. I would classify them as totally Canadian.
Well, and American. I mean, they took American citizenship. A couple of years before
this thing
blew up.
Right.
So they actually had dual citizenship and they were raised, I think, like half of their childhood in the U.S. So they're
right.
And really, I mean, the culture in Canada, America,
if you
different.
Talk to a Canadian, you might hear a different side of the story, but
I don't know. I think even some Canadians would say that it's pretty similar.
Well, actually, it depends on where in Canada you're from.
Yeah,
I think if you're from the French speaking side, it might be a little different. But
I remember when I first started traveling, there used to be Americans who would put the maple leaf
on their
Canadian
bag or something.
Patch on their backpack, so they thought that would protect them from people who hate Americans. I've never been a super patriotic person, but I always thought that was pretty wimpy.
That's pretty.
Amazing story that. These young guys, they just had everything.
Well, it's incredible.
Just the
it's
rug
an incredible
was pulled
story.
Out from under them.
In a moment, they've just suddenly, their whole life was just taken away from them. And what I find most interesting about this story is the fact that even though all this happened to them and they ended up in Russia, you can't actually take someone's identity away from them. You can only change their circumstances. And so, you know, they I'm sure their experience on the inside was, hey, I'm still the same person I was last week. Like, what's going on here? Why am I suddenly called a Russian? And why is suddenly my name changed? And why is suddenly I'm in a totally different environment and I'm treated so differently? I'm still I'm still the same. What happened?
Yeah. Well, you I think very, that's probably, you know, day one, but very quickly we start to incorporate the way other people view us.
Sure.
You know, we reflect what society is throwing at us, and that becomes part of our identity.
Yeah. Yeah. Identity changes. Sure.
So yeah, all of a sudden they've got new names, they've got new passports. The older son in university, he's got one more year to go in
suddenly,
Washington D.C. Can't go back to school.
Yeah,
the high school kid, he gets into university in Canada.
Yeah,
and they won't renew his Canadian passport.
Wow.
So then he applies as a Russian.
Yeah,
and he gets approved, and right before gets on that plane, or a couple days before, he gets a letter from the Canadian embassy saying, no.
Can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're suing the Canadian government, and, I hope they win.
I wonder what Justin Trudeau has to say about this. He seems like a very kind of enlightened sort of leader.
Yeah.
I wonder how he weighs in on it.
You know, it like the U.S., Canadian law is, if you're born in Canada, you are a Canadian citizen.
Right.
The only exception is, if you are the son or the daughter of somebody working for a foreign government.
Oh, okay.
So that's the rule that they say, okay, that's why you're not Canadian.
But then you would think that the foreign government would, I don't know, put you to work for like a corporation or something. So officially you're working for a corporation.
What would that stop?
I don't know.
They still wouldn't be Canadians.
Well, but they wouldn't be working for they wouldn't be working for the government, the foreign government.
Well, they were undercover spies for the foreign government.
Yeah.
But that's another amazing aspect. You know, I kind of have a sort of a respect for these spies, how deep they went undercover.
Oh yeah, for so many years,
decades,
and like devoted their whole. Basically, their whole existence to making that cover over time. That's
and can
incredible.
You imagine how, I mean, their accent must have been incredible. They must have had a really flawless, even when they first arrived in Canada. It must have been excellent, because how else are you going to convince people?
Right.
And then they worked so hard at developing this long backstory of Canada. The guy started a diaper delivery business, and he'd already graduated from university in Russia, and he went to university again in Canada, and he got an MBA in Paris.
And then he went to Harvard.
He went to Harvard, and he's just building this deep, deep story, and the whole time.
No one would ever suspect,
You know, so, I mean, that side, that dedication, you know, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But then the other side is he was willing to raise children with this massive, you know, lie.
Right.
I can't imagine doing that to
a child.
You know, a child.
Yeah.
And can you imagine how betrayed they
must feel?
How conflicted. I mean, they even talk now that they try. One of them said he tries not to judge his parents, and because he knows they were doing what
they had to
do, felt very strongly about, and they felt was the right thing to do.
Right.
But how could they not feel, you know, betrayed?
Yeah.
So that's the incredible side of the story. Not that their parents were spies. I mean, we hear stories about spies.
Sure, there's every country.
I mean,
spies,
now Snowden is releasing, all this information about the U.S. spying on
everybody
recently,
even their own citizens.
Recently, what has come out a couple days ago is about the CIA spying in Japan.
Ah, really?
And that, you know, it's not really such a surprise. We hear about allies spying on each other all the time. But having that amount of that depth or that, you know, perseverance to create a story that deep.
That's, for that long.
That's the amazing story there for me.
Yeah, it was a good find, Dan.
Well, there we have it.
All right. So,
until next time.
Off we go.